Okay. Come on in and sit. The tardy students. I write their name on the board so everybody know who it was. Let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to assemble here, Father, and we thank you for all your many blessings, and thank you, Father, that you're kind and that you're not like us, Father. We thank you that you've sent your Son to set an example for us, Father, and we ask that you would just continue to help us to develop and become better Christians, Father, and to focus upon you and your word, Father, and be with those of us who are here tonight, those joining us remotely, as well as those Christians around the world, Father. Lift us up individually and collectively, Father, and then we'll give you all the glory. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, good evening. I'm Del Wayne Rucker. Some of you all don't know me joining remotely. Most of you all know me here. My wife and I have been attending for 3 or 4 years now, consistently. We've members at the North Sheridan Church of Christ in Tulsa, but we've been kind of found our way here quite a bit. So thank you all for giving me the opportunity to speak with you this evening. Tonight, we're going to talk about anger. Is that all right? We don't have any of that going on in our country, do we? Or in our world. But I really just felt like I was kind of deciding when David asked me to take the lesson on, I just kind of wanted to decide about what I talk about, you know, what I, he said I could talk about whatever I wanted. And this is kind of something that I felt was relevant in our country and world today. So personally, I haven't, that's not really my weakness, I would say, if I had to pick Mona, but I think we can all attest to that, that we've had a problem with it, whether short term or long term. but all the same, so we're going to talk about I'm going to tell you a story to start, but then we're going to talk about what is anger, then we'll talk about anger's purpose, and then we'll talk about does God get angry, and does he allow us to be angry about things, and does he expect us to be angry about some things? And then we'll also talk about the expectations as Christians and how we deal with anger and how God instructs us to deal with anger. And then we'll close. I'll close maybe with another story if we have time, and then I'll give you some homework like all good students get, right? So tell you a story to start. It's a fence story. Some of you might have already heard about it or have already known. Author is unknown. And so there was once a young boy with a very bad temper. The boy's father wanted to teach him a lesson, so he gave him a big bag of nails and told him that every time he lost his temper, he must hammer a nail into their wooden fence. On the first day of the lesson, the boy had driven 37 nails into the fence. He was really mad, rightfully. That's not little boys, though. They don't angry like that. Over the course of the next few weeks, the little boy began to control his temper. So the number of nails that were hammered into the fence dramatically decreased. As now related to our Christianity, that would be equivalent to us becoming better if you analogy with the story. So it wasn't long before the little boy discovered it was easier to hold his temper than it was to drive those nails into to the wood. Then the day finally came when the little boy didn't lose his temper at all, not even once. And he became so proud of himself, he couldn't wait to tell his father. Pleased, his father suggested that he now pull out one nail for each day that he could hold his temper. Several weeks went by, And the day finally came when the young boy was able to tell his father that all the nails were gone. Very gently, his father brought him to the side, and the father took his son by the hand and led him over to the fence. And he said, "Listen, son, when you say these things in anger, you leave a permanent scar just like these in the fence. And no matter how many times you say you're sorry, the wounds will always be there." That was an interesting story when I first heard it. It made a lot of sense, especially the last few parts, sentences. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to reference to a few scriptures. And you don't have to look open to all of them. If you want to write them down, you can. But the first we'll start with James chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. James 1 and 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for wrath of a man worketh not the righteousness of God." Now, as we look at that passage, just anyone, if you want a reference to that, can anyone just tell me what you feel like or what that means to you? Have a brave individual raise their hand. Not Jim. You got to go last because I know you're going to. Can anyone? Okay. Well, that's easier said than done. And I get why no one raised their hand, because I think we can all, if we're honest, I think most of us in here are, that we haven't always been, you know, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And God gives us, one of the things that I like about the Bible and what it does, it gives you specific directions. And if you love God and you want to please Him, you really have to break down the scripture and apply it, but it's really not to be confused. And if you accept it and your heart is open, we really don't confuse any of those words. You really don't have to be very old or very educated to really understand it. So that's just one scripture reference I wanted. So now I want to move into, what is anger? Is it a tool? Is it a weapon? Is it both? I researched it and I looked up anger, and there were a few definitions that I come across. Anger defined is a strong feeling, an annoyance, a displeasure, or hostility. Another definition, an emotion characterized by antagonism towards someone or something. All too often, when we think of anger, we think of it as a negative connotation. But anger has a purpose. Before we move on to anger's purpose, I'd like us to, I don't want to get too scientific with it, but I just wanted to make a reference to how anger is processed in the brain. And have you ever heard anyone say, "I can't control my anger," when people do this kind of stuff? Well, I'm going to disagree. I think we can control it more often than not. And so when we look at anger and how it processes with the brain, if you look here, our emotions come up through the spinal cord and the brain stem here. And the limbic system, here is where I feel. All of that anger and all of that rage and all of that usually not good things, we process here. And if we do what the word has instructed us to, then we can make it to that frontal lobe, which is the front part of your brain where the rationale takes place. And usually in this area of the brain is when logic, reasoning, all those things people don't want to hear when they're mad,
because they're still in the limbistic state in the system, that's usually where all this takes place. Now, emotional intelligence, the capacity of to be aware of, control, and express one's emotions, and to handle interpersonal relationships judiciously and empathetically. Feeling anger enhances emotional intelligence. Individuals willing to embrace uncomfortable emotions such as anger rather than avoiding or repressing them have a greater emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligent individuals do not resist anger, instead utilizing its wisdom to gain its positives. As a result, they have highly flexible emotional response systems and are more adaptive and resilient.
Well, that's pretty deep. I like to ask a question to, and Jim, you can chime in now. Does anyone else have a different definition of what anger might be to them, or another, some words that something I maybe didn't cover? That's a very good point. That's a good point. Devin pointed out that anger is a lot of times stimulated by surprises. And I know we've all heard someone say, I don't like surprises. Well, that's probably that person that he's referencing to. Good point. So now let's move into anger's purposes. And what I have in my notes, anger motivates us to solve problems. If things are not the way they're supposed to be and need to change, anger propels us to do something and motivates us to find solutions to our problems, good or bad. Anger is triggered when we face obstacles, as what Devin mentioned, or individuals or something else that blocks our needs. Well, that's pretty much. That's pretty much that last sentence is what I thought about the most as I was moving into the next section. Anger is triggered when we face obstacles or an individual or something else that blocks our needs. Well, what does block our needs? Is it people? Is it my expectations? Is it your expectations? What are some of the things that defines anger's purpose and maybe that blocks some of our needs? That's not rhetorical, by the way. Put your Christianity aside. Correct. Jerry made a good point. He said that when we expect anger from is stimulated by another individual,
who has a different response to what I expected them, different response to in a way that I expected them response, meaning they respond differently than what I thought they should have. I thought that should have made you mad, and it didn't. Or I thought, I don't know why, you know, that made you happy. It made me mad. So that's a very good point. Is there any other triggers or... Good point. And when you said belief, oh, go ahead, Jim. Yeah, of course. So what you're saying is healthy anger, a level of it. So that's, and I will get to that here later on in the lesson, but that's a good point. And to answer your question about was Christ rational, I am not sure. But I'm sure that whatever he wanted to do, he did, and okay, it's a good point. Well, I have a few examples here of some of the things that our country's facing, and we face it individually, we face it in the world, not just in the U.S., but in life. I think we can all answer probably the number one or two on our list. Like Jim already mentioned, you know, some of the things that's going on and the people that are doing, is it hard not to be angry, or is it hard to control the anger, or both? Of course. Yeah. course. Yeah. That's a good thing. Of course.
Thank you.
Excellent. Good point. Very good point. We know that God does allow some level of anger. Psalms 97:10. O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked one. So in Romans 12 and 9, let love be genuine. Abhor, which means have a disgust for or hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. So we have scriptural references to teach us that there is things that God is angry about, and there are things that we should be angry about. And back to what Donnell and Jim and even Edwin had already mentioned, it's how we control it and what we respond to and how we do it. For example, this is an analogy. If I see someone being attacked, that makes me angry, who's innocent and who was not committing a crime or who was not doing anything evil. Maybe they attack someone because of the color of their skin or their weight or the color of their hair, and that makes me angry and I intervene. Well, God expects me to do that, in my opinion. He expects me to intervene in that situation and help that person who was attacked unrighteously. And if I, in the meantime, was to hurt that individual that was attacking that person, in my opinion, it is. That would be something pleasing in God's sight. Now, is there anyone who would agree or disagree with that? I don't think you're the only one. Yeah. Anyone else want to comment on? Okay. Well, we have expectations, the anticipated expectations that we have from Christ. We know what we're led to do and instructed to do in his word. What I want to speak on is there anticipated expectation from the general world for us? Meaning, you're a Christian, you ain't supposed to get mad. Has anyone heard that before? One of the first things when you profess your Christianity, for me it was anyway, when you start, take that stand and say, all right, I'm a Christian, what's probably one of the first things that's probably going to happen to you shortly after, once you let it out? What's some of the things that generally happens? Ridicule, you get challenged, right? Peers around you, they say, all right, I'm going to see. And they get that tiger, that fork that they poke that tiger with, and they poke it, and they poke it. Maybe come and bring you some photos, maybe throw some, hey, man, let's go out drinking, you know, and different things like that. I've seen that, and it's happened to me in my life, and still it's happening to this day, where people and Satan's, his evilness and his cunning ways affect in the minds of so many people who are not Christian and those who are, that they would rather put effort into proving that you can't live and be a Christian, and this is why you shouldn't, because see, this is why I won't do it, because you tell me you're a Christian and I showed you this photo and you liked it, or I asked you to come out drinking and you did, so see, I won't be a Christian now because it's too many hypocrites. Anyone ever heard that before? And so the anticipated expectation is to, and for me, I struggled with that for a while. Every once in a while, I still do. Not as bad as I used to, but facing that head on, it made me really angry at first. And I said, why? He knows. I just told him. I just told him I was Christian and I don't do that stuff either at all or anymore, because there are some things I never did even before I was a Christian, and there are some things I don't do anymore, and some things I still do that I need to stop. But those, you know, those are always, you know, this is a work in progress. But I said, man, I just told you last 2 days ago that I, and here he is, you know, okay, well, I had to realize that it's not him. You know what I mean? It's Satan. That's who's after me. You know, he's just a puppet, so to speak, right? And so now as we, you know, and as we continue to grow and we learn, you know, what it is, one of the things that I've come up with when my time in the military, and some of those who serve also know this, in order to defeat your enemy, you have to know what? You have to know their capabilities, right? You have to know how they can hurt you. And then you have to know those kind of things. And so as I started to look into it later in life, and I see, well, how do I lose? How do I lose battles as a Christian? How do I lose? I'm still fighting the war, but how do I lose battles? I lose because I did not understand what I was up against. And as I start to figure out what I was up against and who I was up against and what I was kind of things, I've been able to fight it off better. And so I had a gentleman I had at work one time. I don't know. I can't remember where I was. I can't remember if I was still in the military or in the fire department, but I had an altercation. It wasn't physical, but it started out bad, and I thought it was going to get that way. And I finally looked at him, and I said, man, you're a ticket. He said, what? He said, what? What do you mean you're a ticket? I said, man, you're a ticket. You're a ticket to somewhere I'm trying to get to. And he didn't even know how to take it. He just walked off. And it all de-escalated from there. So that's how, once I started looking at things like that, that is one of the things that changed my perspective on anger and changed my perspective on Christianity. Is how you look at some things can have just as much, like Jerry mentioned earlier, how you look at some things and rationalize it. If you look at it for what it is, then you'll be able to, we can defeat it, have a better chance of defeating it. So does anyone have any thoughts on that? Oh, I get your names. Oh, okay. Yeah. It makes us walk the walk and talk the talk, or is it talk the talk and walk the walk? It's one of those ways. Oh, get you. That's a good point. So we've covered a few scriptures based on what the Bible has talks about anger. Ephesians 4:26 and 27, we know that well. Be angry and sin not. Let the sun not go down upon your wrath, and neither give place to the devil. Well, we know, you know, wrath and letting the sun go down on our anger. So something that makes me angry, at what point is it overtaking me? At what point is it? And each person is going to be different with that. Is it only overtaking me if I'm reacting to it? Or is it overtaking me if I'm spending too much time thinking about it? Or I can be angry and make one action, and it's over in 10 seconds, and I did. Or I can be angry and never even react to it, but I'm just thinking about it so much, thinking about the anger. So how do we not let the sun go down on our wrath? Probably number one, right? What else? That's a good point, Darnell. Jim said prayer. Darnell said man to man, basically. Talk, or woman to woman, whatever you want, kid to kid. Tyler to Tyler. Yeah. That one, that's been the hardest for me. I've always prayed, you know, but that one right there, going to another person. And he would say, well, should I go to another person just because they made me mad? I'm not sure. Each person has to decide what's best for them and how you're dealing with it. But I know if someone walks through that door and I hadn't seen them in forever, and when I see them, the first thing that I think about is what they did to me last time and to make me angry, I know that's the person I need to go talk to. If it's not, oh, there go, well, that's a nice shirt, or her hair is nice, or his hair is nice, or he don't have any hair, whatever, when I first see him, if it's not a positive, good, oh, no offense, it's not a positive, uplifting thought when I see someone, or I can't go sit next to that person, then I think it's time to have a talk. All right, go ahead. I'll get you next, Bree.
That's a very good point. Before we close, and thank you for your participation, by the way. Things are so much easier, and I feel like it's really from the heart and from the spirit where everyone's trying to get better when you have these healthy conflict, what we call it. It's what I learned in marriage counseling, healthy conflict. So I remember two stories, quick stories. So my wife, when we first got married, I think I came home from somewhere, and she says, "Where you been?" And I'm like, and I'm thinking, like, I have a mother, and I was just like, at the gym. So, but I think it's good for us and good for our growth. But there's another quick little story, and this is not to toot my own horn, but this is just something. It's one of the nicest things anybody's ever said to me. So I was downtown. I was reading at a library for an exam I had to take coming up, and I was sitting across the way, and there was a gentleman looking at me. We were about the same age, in our mid-20s or so, and he just kept looking at me across the way, and I'm like, why does this guy keep, I don't know him. I'm just like, every time I look up, if I go to the bathroom, he's just like, I'm like, well, in the military, you're taught that's creepy and all this weird stuff, and so I'm just like, I don't know, it goes on for about 2 or 3 hours, and I get up to leave, to go get something to eat or something of that nature, and he's either coming or purposely saw me get up to meet me, but he's going to tell me something, and he's ready to. So, hey, can I ask you a question? I said, go ahead, and I'm like halfway boiling over already because, I don't really like that much, but because for where I come from, that says you want to do something to me. So anyway, so he said, and I'm not sure if he only saw me that day or if he saw me prior to that day, I'm not sure, but he said, why are you the way you are? Right. Yeah. Of course. You're right, exactly. You're right. And he said, why are you the way you are? And I was not expecting him to say that. And he said, you just seem really different. And I was grateful because I didn't think I was being that good of an example. And I did not know this guy from anywhere, but all the glory goes to God. And I said that to say that what we rationalize and what we have preconceived up here can be really dangerous. It can be really dangerous. And so, in closing, homework. When you're angry this week, hopefully the months to come and the years to come, but pause for a second, reflect on why you're angry, and do you really have a right to be angry about this, and what can I do to control that anger to where God gets the glory? And if anyone has a need to respond, if anger has overtaken you, if you need prayers, prayers of the church, if you're at home, remotely, you need to email or call. If you are not a Christian and you'd like to become one, then make that known right now as we stand and sing. You got announcements? Okay. Oh, no, Sean.
Normally we have a little pause between, but I think you guys chatted that away. I blame the students, not the teacher. Thank you so much for a thought-provoking class. I took some homework you didn't assign, I'll be honest with you. Some of that it was challenging and great to think on. I'm just going to take a few minutes and go over our prayer requests and announcements. Hopefully you've got a bulletin. Most of these have not changed. I want to highlight Stephen Wetzel's father, Bob, did pass away this morning. So please be in prayer for the Wetzel family. Jennifer Wetzel's youngest brother, Drew, is also having some heart issues. So just wrap that family up in prayer. Keeping Howard Whittlesey in mind as well. Announcements. Youth devotional Sunday after evening services here at the building. If you'd like to host a youth devo, talk to Tom. Trail Life will not meet Monday because Monday's the beginning of fall break. So that's off. Also, the elders had a meeting last night, and we decided that we're going to cancel our trunk or treat this year in light of the increased hospitalizations due to COVID-19 in Tulsa County. It just doesn't seem like a good time to be encouraging community interaction. I regret that, but I think it's a prudent move, and I hope you guys all understand. Please join me in a word of prayer. Father God, we're so thankful. We're thankful that you love us enough to provide your word for our edification, for our growth, and to help us learn to be more like Jesus, the perfect example. We're thankful for the opportunity and the place to come and learn. We're thankful for the teachers that you've sent to us. We're thankful for the time to contemplate, and we're so thankful for this avenue of prayer where we can communicate to you, where we can unburden our hearts to you, where we can lay our tribulations at your feet, dear God, and request intercession. And tonight, we request prayer for the Wetzel family, dear Lord. We ask you to be with those who are mourning. We ask you to call forward ministers from this body to provide assistance to that dear family. We ask you to make our brother and sister know that they're loved and supported during this time. Dear God, be with the Grays and bring them back to us safe and sound. Help them to be refreshed and recharged and ready to renew the work here at Glenpool. Be with all the students who are getting a break next week from an unconventional school year. Bless the teachers with a time of respite and the students with renewed energy and vigor. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.